Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
It's reported this morning that the economy will take a 1.1 billion euro hit because of a lack of hotel accommodation this summer. A government memo warns it's as a result of the ongoing pressure of housing refugees and that mitigation measures should be put in place for businesses that depend on tourists. Now, Hugh O'Connell is deputy political editor with the Irish Independent and Sunday Independent and is on the line for more on this. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Claire.
So this is called the Discussion Paper on Displaced Tourism Accommodation. And it's been sent around to ministers. It's approved by Fáilte Ireland. So what are the predictions in there?
Yeah, this is a document that my colleague Senna Maloney has laid hands on. And it predicts, as you say, a 1.1 billion euro hit to the economy as a result of a lack of accommodation through the summer because of the pressures arising from housing refugees. We know that there are, according to the memo anyway, about, I think, 35,000 refugees being housed in hotels, and 37,500 being accommodated in hotels and guest houses across the country, and it's thought that it's likely to remain at this level throughout the year. So there are fewer hotels and B&Bs and hostels available because there are fewer coming available than might have been thought that are coming off contracts to house refugees this summer. So we're seeing these pressures with housing asylum seekers in the first place. I mean, we see the informal accommodation arrangement that's emerged outside the International Protection Office in Dublin. But the economic hit is predicted to be in the region of 581 million for food and beverages. So that's nearly half the amount. And then 94 million in activities and attractions such as caves and kayaking, 207 million in all areas of transport, 198 million in retail, and 20 million labelled other. So the government is being told that really needs to find some mitigation measures. And I think the chief mitigation measure will probably be the extension of the 9% VAT rate for the hospitality sector, which is due to expire at the end of the summer and which ministers have been adamant will expire this time. This was a measure introduced during the COVID pandemic. It's gone through, I think, at least two extensions at this stage. And, Michael McGrath, the finance minister, and Pascal Donoghue, the public expenditure minister, have been very clear that they're going to allow this to lapse later this year. But I think the pressure is going to come on now as we get into the summer and the industry is going to be lobbying heavily. And indeed, some other ministers and some TDs that speak up for this sector on a regular basis will be lobbying hard for the extension of that measure.
But Hugh, if you're a business relying on income from tourists and the tourists aren't there, like a 9% VAT rate on nothing is not going to be any good to you. So is there any talk about some sort of support like we had during COVID for these businesses, like the bike rental companies and the cafes and the kayak businesses to get them through?
There isn't at this stage, Claire. I mean, look, it's the budget talks haven't got underway at this stage, but there is little talk at this point in time of any such measures. But I dare say the industry will spend the summer lobbying on this. I do think one thing that we should consider as well is that as we come into the summer months, it's likely that some accommodation will open up because students will be going back home. So student accommodation will become available. So that might help ease the pinch points that have been emerging over the last few months. I mean, we've had at various points since the beginning of the year, and of course, obviously last year, we get to a point where we run out of accommodation and there's no accommodation for hundreds of people. But that kind of, you get over that hump, but then it crops up again because there's a greater increase in the numbers coming in every week. So I think this is just going to be a challenge for this government from now for the next few years, and as long as the war continues to go on in Ukraine. And of course, there's obviously other conflicts elsewhere in the world which are driving this too.
So another challenge that the government is dealing with and focuses on it this week is inflation, particularly when it comes to grocery prices, retail prices. And we have this meeting with the Retail Forum that's happening on Wednesday. Minister of State Neil Richmond was saying earlier he's looking forward to an open and frank discussion with the stakeholders. What can happen, though, as a result of that meeting, Hugh? What sort of power does it have?
Well, I'm not sure it has much power, Claire. I mean, look, the government obviously does have powers under the Consumer Protection Act to set price caps for the industry, but I do detect a reluctance listening to the Taoiseach last week to impose that, notwithstanding some of the tough talking from his own ministers. I mean, I don't see the retailers and the big supermarkets kowtowing to the government in any way. I think it's more likely this is an optics show, really. You know, we've already seen supermarkets beginning to reduce prices before the government even got involved and called forward this meeting from June to May of the retail forum. I haven't seen any evidence of the past of this retail forum having a massive impact on the way in which supermarkets and big retailers conduct their business. So, I you know, Neil Richmond's been out a lot over the last 48 hours, and he's been talking about how you know, the retailers are going to have to prove that they're not engaging in greedflation or profiteering. But, you know, I don't think that they're going to be too scared going into this meeting tomorrow. Now, I could be wrong, but I don't think arising out of this meeting is going to be much by way of a change from the supermarkets. I mean, we've already seen that they're reducing the prices of milk and butter, and I think other staples will follow now as well, because a price war appears to be underway. And that's generally how the supermarket industry works, is they all compete against each other, and they drive down prices when they see that there's an opportunity to do that and to bring in more customers. So anything the government does in this space, even if it has powers under the Act to impose price caps, I don't see them doing that. So I don't see them this meeting having a huge effect, really.
It might just be finger wagging, but we'll see what happens and whether the prices come down, as you say. Now, your own paper, the Sunday Independent, carried this Ireland Thinks poll over the weekend, Hugh. So tell us a little bit about that. Are we seeing the first signs of party ratings beginning to consolidate now?
Yeah, I think so, Claire. Certainly there was minimal change, but a few interesting changes, I think, in the poll. I mean, the most notable one was Fine Gael down, fall up 3% to 19%, but Fine Gael down 2% to 20%. And we're not really seeing the bounce for Fine Gael that I think they had hoped when Leo Varadkar returned to the Taoiseach's office. That's their lowest poll rating in this series since last June. So that will be worrying for the Taoiseach and for Leo Varadkar, for Fine Gael, particularly at a time, obviously, when a number of TDs have indicated that they're not going to be running for the party at the next election. So there's a real challenge for the party to hit the target of 45 seats that he's confidently predicted Fine Gael will win at the next election. The other notable finding, I think, was Sinn Féin, not the state of the party's poll, but Mary Lou's personal approval rating dropping 4 points. And a question we asked about whether the public believed her account of not knowing about Jonathan Dowdall and his links to criminality when he was a Sinn Féin councillor. 57% of the public don't believe Mary Lou MacDonald on that question, and I think that's a pretty stark finding for her. That would be a cause for concern. The smaller parties, the Social Democrats, got a big bounce out of the Holly Cairns. They were up at 9% earlier this year. They've lost all those gains now. They're back down to 5%, and that's kind of the rating they were hovering around when Catherine Murphy and Roisin Shorthall were co-leaders. So I think that will prompt some soul-searching for Holly Cairns and the Soc Dems. And just the other question, I think, which was interesting, not so much in the result, but it's just kind of, you know, the consolidation, as you say, in a forced choice we asked voters if they'd prefer the current coalition to be re-elected or a Sinn Féin-led government without Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. And both of those results, about each of those options getting around 40-odd percent. But if you don't know, is in around 18%. And that's where the election will be won and lost, not nearly a fifth of the electorate who are not sure about either of those choices.
That is a fascinating result, isn't it? It's really all to play for. That's what the message that's going to send out to the parties. Hugh, thank you very much. Hugh O'Connell, Deputy Political Editor with the Irish Independent and Sunday Independent. Coming up next, what is E10 petrol and what does it do for your car?
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.